Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. And when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A lot lately I've been talking about, like Isaiah in different readings, that they are directed to people who are in exile. So there are people, their temple was destroyed, their city was destroyed, their life was taken away, and they're living in a foreign land. Nehemiah is after the return. So Ezra was the priest, Nehemiah was the political functionary set up there by the Persians. And in these books, they talk about the struggle of rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the city walls. Now, while they're building the walls, they literally carried a sword in one hand and the rock in the other, because the people around there didn't want them there. All right? So, I mean, think about that. I'm not much of a builder, but trying to build something when you have a sword in one hand. So it's a real struggle to get the physical dimensions of the city, and it wasn't a beautiful work. I mean, they tell you it looks pieced together. But along with the physical rebuilding, a spiritual rebuilding was necessary. As much as from our perspective it looks clear, from their perspective, a lot of people might have thought it indicated that Yahweh was not as powerful as the pagan gods, because they believe all that stuff is real, because it is. There are gods at work in the world. There are spiritual forces at work in the world. And a lot of people in our age talk differently, but a lot of people in our age say the same thing. "I really don't think God saves. I have trust in other things," like make a list. But the way these people understood themselves was in continuity with the scriptural stories of the Exodus, in the stories in Genesis, in the stories of Israel in the past, because they understood they were part of that one body, all together. Individuals, yes, but individual members of the one body. So as in Exodus, they entered that promised land. So now in Ezra and Nehemiah, they re-enter the promised land as the people of God. And Ezra was viewed as the new Moses. And in later Jewish tradition, it was said if Moses had not been around, God would have given the law to Ezra. And scholars think Ezra is one of the key contributors to what we call the Old Testament, the Jewish Tanakh. That he is the one who was the one who brought it all together in its final form. When you hear the story of the people standing from 6 a.m. to noon, hearing the word of God, I know you think, yeah, that's something we would do. The temperature in the church was not quite right. And the pew was hard on my rear end for those 48 minutes I was sitting there. Right? I mean, that's kind of how we are. That's how we grew up. Can't we get seats with cushions? That was a big argument in my church, seats with cushions, because we had folding chairs. I mean, that was what we battled about. We never stood for 6 hours to hear the word of God, ever. So it's stunning to think about this event where they're asking him to read the word. And as you read the story, you see the story which we read this week of Exodus, where Israel stood and Moses read the commandments. And they said, all that you have said, we will do. And if you go to 2 Kings, Josiah the king, the reformer king, who became, I think he was 8 years old when he became king. And before them, Israel had been off the tracks doing horrible things. And they found the law. It had been lost. Lost. He said, there's a thing called Passover we're supposed to celebrate every year. Can you imagine 50 years from now, someone coming to church and saying, they have this thing called Easter. We just forgot about it for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So these stories, the language overlaps. These stories, once again, it's the same people. It's Israel, different individuals, but the same people, Israel. Just like a sports team, the Memphis Tigers is the Tigers, and it's different people are the Tigers at this moment. But the team itself is a larger entity. The church is a larger entity than just you and I. In the cycle of the church in the Bible, the cycle of the people of God in the Bible is constantly losing our way and getting lost. So all the people are gathered. 10 times the word all is used. If you hear 10 times in one little section, you might say, that might be significant. He seems to be making a point here. It's everybody, all the people. Twice it says men, women, and those old enough to understand, which brings us to the next word that occurs 5 times, understand. It's not enough just to be all together. We're all together to understand. And this is, see, the problem is it's the clergy explaining it. What they did there, I'm reading the same. Gosh, this is what we do to this day. 2,500 years later, this is us. We read the word and then a priest gets up and explains the word. And let me tell you, as an explainer, I know I'm arrogant. Okay, I confess. I know I think I know what I'm talking about. I confess. But the rest of the story is I don't. The rest of the story is it's hard to stand up here and tell you what God thinks. It's horrifying and it's terrifying to stand in the place of God and say, here's the message from God. Let me explain what this means. Knowing full well, I'm wrong about all sorts of stuff. And if I knew what I was wrong about, I promise I wouldn't tell you. And that's the problem for the church. That every pulpit is, and you can go to other churches, some of them are worse than I am. Some are better. But most are the same. Feeble human beings trying to share what we think it means and having to speak to your life and affect in your life at some of the deepest level. Because what we're saying about God, you guys believe in God. You guys care about God. And so the good news, well, there is one other thing here. They respond to the word with tears because they realize they're sinners, right? And we know that, but we don't want to do it in church. I know I made some uncomfortable. I got a little emotional here. Not supposed to get emotional about feeling your sins in the church. Right? But they felt emotion. They were crying and weeping. Ezra says, don't you know what today is? It's the first day of the 7th month. It's the day of trumpets and celebration. It's the day of trumpets and celebration. And when you're part of the one people, your own personal feelings don't dictate things. They have seasons. We're getting ready to start Lent. I'm not much in the thing about my sins right now. Doesn't matter. The season of the church, that's what we think about. And on Easter Sunday, no matter how sad you are, it's a celebration. We don't take a vote. Anybody want to celebrate today? Well, I'm feeling kind of cranky. I don't want to do it. Easter is Easter for 50 days. And so what they told the people is, this is not a day to cry. This is not a day to think about your sins. This is a day of celebration. Eat, drink. And by the way, if your neighbor doesn't have anything, feed them, give them drink so they can celebrate too, because all of us together are here to celebrate on this day. So there's a message. Sin matters, but God's grace matters more. Understand? It's not the New Age message of sin isn't real. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. If we pretend we're not sinners, we're going to make this world a living hell. And we need to repent, or we will make the world a living hell. But our joy and peace does not come from the fact that I'm okay and you're okay. It comes from the fact that God is good and merciful and kind and loving. And in spite of our sins, they're forgiven, so let's celebrate. Now, the best part of the story is the second one, where we have Jesus preaching. And in the end, this is what I'm looking forward to. Because when Jesus preaches, he doesn't say, here's what it means. When Jesus preaches, he says, here's who I am. He reads from Isaiah and says, oh, that's about me. I'm that guy. And I'm here with you. I don't know if you read it next week, but spoiler alert, they try to kill him. They do try to kill him. So we're gathered today to try to find Jesus in the scriptures. And Isaiah is not the only place where Jesus is in the Bible. So we're going to gather every week. And your feeble priest will continue to try to tell you the truth. And you will come here prepared to find Jesus in the scriptures. And then he will feed us his body and blood. And he'll sing. And she'll play music. And we'll have a brief moment of being in heaven together. Amen.